Okay, we do want to welcome all of the students again to our Bible class today. Thank you for tuning in to our Bible class. We are looking today at the subject, God the Son. God the Son. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at God the Son today. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Open up our hearts and our minds that we can understand this truth, dear God, regarding your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will give us a good understanding of this doctrine of God the Son. Because you said in the word, in all thy getting, get an understanding. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right. Today we'll be looking at God the Son. God the Son, his deity and his eternity. God the Son, his deity and his eternity. Now, the scripture presents the Lord Jesus Christ as being at the same time perfectly human and perfectly divine. Let me say that again. The scripture presents the Lord Jesus Christ as being perfectly human and perfectly divine. In other words, Jesus, he's fully God, but he's also fully man. That's what we're talking about. He was both like and unlike other men. According to John 1:14 and 1 Timothy 3:16, Jesus was revealed to be a man among men, who was born, who lived, who suffered, and who died. Scripture is equally clear. He was unlike man in that he was eternally pre-existent. He was entirely sinless in his human life. His death was a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he manifested his divine power in his glorious resurrection and ascension. So on the human side, he had a beginning and was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. But on the divine side, he had no beginning because he was from all eternity. Now, do you see that? You see the two sides of Jesus? On the one hand, let me say it again, he had a beginning. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. But on the other side, he had no beginning. He was from all eternity. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. I think in our last lesson, I kind of got it confused. I think I said chapter 7, but I meant to say chapter 9 about Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. You see the two distinct natures right there of Jesus. The distinction is obvious between a child who was born and the son who was given. Read that. As a matter of fact, I want you to memorize that scripture there, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. As a matter of fact, we're coming back to that later on in our study today. But I want you to get in the habit too of memorizing some of these scriptures, and particularly this scripture here as it relates to God the Son. God the Son. Accordingly, the Eternal Son became, in his incarnation, he was made of a woman. He was made of a woman. Although stating that Christ was pre-existent, merely claims that he existed before he was born. For all practical purpose, it is also affirming that he existed from all eternity. Jesus just wasn't alive before he was born there in Bethlehem. No, no. Jesus existed from all eternity. The idea that he was pre-existent only in the sense of being the first of all created being, this was a so-called heresy from the 4th century, is not a modern teaching. Thus, the proof of his pre-existence and the proof for his eternity may be grouped together. It is also evident that if Christ is God, he's eternal. And if he's eternal, he's God. And proof for the deity of Christ and his eternity support each other. Lord have mercy. Do you see what I'm talking about here? See, if Jesus existed back in eternity, then that means that he's eternal. And if he's eternal, then that means he's God. All right. Because only God is eternal. All right. The eternity and the deity of Jesus is established by two lines of revelation. The first line of revelation is the direct statement. There are some direct statements of the eternity and the deity of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And then, number two, there's some implications from Scripture. So, I want to look, first of all, at some direct statements from Scripture. So hopefully you got your Bible, or you can write some of these scriptures down if you don't have your Bible. The eternity and the deity of Jesus Christ are asserted in an extensive body of Scripture, which affirms his infinite person and his eternal existence, co-equal with the other persons of the Godhead. This fact is not affected by his incarnation. Just because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that never stopped him from being God. Let's look at some scripture. Let's look at some scripture. First scripture I want to look at is John chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2. John chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Do you see that? And then when you skip down to verse number 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." Now, what was the Word? It says the Word was God. Well, when did the Word come into existence? It always existed. He always existed because it says he was in the beginning. Yeah, did you see that? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same, here it is right here. It's right in your Bible. The same was in the beginning. with God. Right there. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? The same was in the beginning with God. How much clearer can we be that Jesus existed from all eternity? How much clearer can we be? The scripture can't get no clearer than that. It tells us who Jesus was. Jesus was God. Yeah, see, that trip out a lot of Christians right there. That trip them up. Jesus is God. It's right there in the Bible, right in the scripture. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Now notice, look at verse number 3. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen, Jesus made everything. How do I know he made everything? Because he was God. How do I know he was God? Because the Word tells me he was God. And the Word tells me he was right there in the beginning. When God said, let there be light, guess who was there? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Right there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was right there. He was the one that was doing the creation. The Bible, how do I know? Verse number 3. All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's right in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. Look at Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. The Bible says, but thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me. That is to be a ruling Israel. Here it is, right here. Underline this phrase. Whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Do you see that? This verse here shows us where Jesus was going to be born. He was going to be born there in Bethlehem. And it tells us that even though he was going to be born in Bethlehem, he already existed. How long had he been in existence? From of old, from everlasting. It's right in your Bible. Underline that. Jesus was in existence from everlasting. Lord, have mercy. This is some powerful truths, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Because this affirms his virgin birth. And when you look at verse number 14, it gives his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us, which means God with us. It's right in your Bible. You see that? It didn't say an angel with us. It didn't say an archangel with us. It says God with us. Isn't that in your Bible? It's right in the Bible. All right. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to bring something out here. We looked at that scripture a little bit earlier, but I want to look at it a little bit further. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 and 7. Although Jesus was a child born, he was also given as a son and is specifically called the Mighty God. Now look at this. Look at this. Verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now we looked at that earlier, but look at the rest of this verse. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called, here it is, watch it, Wonderful Counselor. But look at the third name, the Mighty God. Do you see that? The Mighty God. Notice, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice, Jesus is called here by the names of God. Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Right there in your Bible. It's there, ladies and gentlemen. It shows here that Jesus is equal to God the Father. Jesus is equal to God the Father in deity as well as in eternity. The Everlasting, notice that word, the Everlasting Father. That shows how Jesus is equal to the Everlasting Father. As long as the Father been around, Jesus been around. The Father is called God. Jesus here is called the Mighty God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you underlined that and then highlighted that in your Bible. Let's go on a little bit further. Because what I want you to see direct statements of the eternity and the deity of Jesus, the Son of God. All right. Let me go over to the... Well, let me just stay in Isaiah. And then I'll go over John. I'll just quote John 8:58. Jesus Christ, he stated in John 8:58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now the Jews, they understood this to be a claim for his deity and his eternity. Yeah. Look at that. You can look at that real good, ladies and gentlemen, because it's explicit there. It's explicit. It's a direct statement. It's a direct statement. When Jesus said, I am, because, see, remember Moses asked the Lord over in Exodus, I believe Exodus chapter 3, who can I tell them that sent me? And he said, tell them that I am sent you. And so they knew right there that when he says, I am that I am, oh, he's making himself equal with God. He's making himself equal with God. And so they took up stone. They was ready to stone Jesus at that point right there. They was ready to stone him. Isaiah 43 and 13. Let me look at that since I'm still in Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and 13. You got your Bible? Isaiah 43 and 13. He says, yet before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hands. I will work, and who shall let it? Notice what God said. Before the day was, I am he. When you go back up to verse number 11, he tells you of Isaiah 43. He says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other. Notice he said, I, even I, am the Lord. I have declared and have saved, I have showed when there was no strange gods among you. Therefore ye are my witness, said the Lord, that I am God. Yet before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. So those scriptures right there lets you know the deity and the eternity of Jesus Christ. Now, look at John 17. John 17 and 5. John 17 and 5. John 17. Are you with me, class? John 17 and 5. John 17 and 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at that. Right in your Bible. Right in your Bible. Jesus is here praying, and he's praying. He said, Father, this is what I want you to do for me. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with thy glory, which I had with thee before the world was. He says, I want you to give me that glory back that I had before the world was. Listen, Jesus is telling the Father, give me back what I had before the world was. That's powerful, ladies and gentlemen. That shows you right there that Jesus is equal with God, and Jesus was back in eternity with Almighty God. Let's look at some implications that the Son of God is eternal. The Word of God constantly and consistently implies the pre-existence and eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among the obvious proof of this facts, several may be noted. Number one, the works of creation are ascribed to him. And we looked at that earlier over there in John 1 and 3. You can also look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 16 is a good scripture that you can look at. Colossians chapter 1, I went a little bit too far. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16 says, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or power. All things was created by him and for him. We're talking about the Lord Jesus there. So the works of creation is ascribed to Jesus. And then, number two, the angel of Jehovah, whose appearance is often recorded in the Old Testament, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he appeared at many times as an angel, or even as a man, he bears the unmistakable marks of deity. He appeared to Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. Don't you remember that? He appeared to Hagar. Check out that story when you get time. Genesis 16 and 7. He even appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18 and 1. Don't you remember Abraham was there at his tent? And all of a sudden, this God and these two angels showed up with them. Also in Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 12, you again see the angel of Jehovah. Let's go on a little bit further. Even at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2, as well as verse number 14. And then he appeared to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. Matter of fact, let me just take a look at that right quick. Look at Joshua chapter 5, class. We're running out of time here, but I think we got just enough time to finish this part of the lesson. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Are you with me, class? Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13 and 14. Joshua, remember, he was out trying to figure out how he was going to take down Jericho, trying to figure out the battle of Jericho, trying to come up with a battle plan. And the Bible says in verse number 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us, are our adversary?" And he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come." And Joshua fell down on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What said my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. And so this big figure that showed up, this angel of the Lord, that was none other than Jesus Christ. How do we know? Because he asked Joshua to loose your shoes, because what you're standing is holy ground. Why is that? Because when God shows up, it's now holy. Yeah, that place there is holy. Yeah. Just like over in Exodus chapter 3, the same thing happened there in Exodus chapter 3. God tells Moses the same thing. Matter of fact, let me take a look at that. I hadn't planned to take a look at that, but we might as well take a look at that. Since we looked at that one with Joshua, we might as well look at that one with Moses here. The Bible tells us that there was a burning bush. And the scripture says, and the angel of the Lord, verse 2, appeared unto him. That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. In a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And see, when it says the angel of the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, appeared unto him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he had turned aside. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, and it says, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh, neither put off thy shoes for off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so it's we got the implications that the Son of God is eternal. When you see the angel of the Lord often appeared in the Old Testament, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number three, the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ indicate his eternal being. He's precisely what his name implies. He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Christ, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, God with us, God, Great God, God blessed forever. And so all of these titles shows us that Jesus is indeed God. And then we have the pre-existence. Number four, we got the pre-existence and the eternity of the Son of God are implied in the facts that he has the attributes of God. And that's John chapter 5. We're running out of time. We don't really have too much time left. But I do want to read just a few scriptures out of John chapter 5. And then I want you to do that for homework. Read the rest of John chapter 5. Familiarize yourself with John chapter 5. Because John chapter 5 is really a chapter that really shows you the deity of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, I'm going to read verse number 26. It says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself." And so you see the pre-existence or the self-existent. Just like God the Father has life in himself, God the Son has life in himself. And what you will see, everything that God the Father can do, God the Son say, "I can do it." Look back up in verse number 19. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise." Jesus is saying, whatever I don't do anything unless I see the Father do, and whatever the Father can do, I can do. Jesus is showing you right there that he's equal with God. He said, "The Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will." Just like God the Father got power to raise up the dead, Jesus said, "I got power to raise up the dead." He says, "The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all the judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honor not the Father, which has sent him." See, these people, they was upset with Jesus because they knew that Jesus was indeed God. As a matter of fact, verse number 17, Jesus says, "But Jesus answered, says, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus said, "We're doing the same work." "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." They want to stone Jesus. You know why they want to stone Jesus? Because Jesus was claiming to be God. Yeah. And so when we talk about God the Father, God the Son, we see that God the Son, he's also equal with God the Father. That's our lesson for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for writing it down in the Bible, letting us know who Jesus Christ really is, that Jesus is indeed the second person of the Trinity. He's God in the flesh. Help us now to worship him. Help us now to present him as being God in flesh. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray.